Well, good morning, Glenkirk Church. Good morning. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas. We had such a fun Christmas this year. My daughter is right at the age where Christmas is getting exciting. My son loves it all, but he's still just along for the ride. He has no clue what's going on. But this year was the first year where I got to see my daughter really excited about it all, and it was really fun. And I am really grateful to be here with you today as we open up this text in Luke chapter 2, which is a beautiful text to come off of our Christmas time. And so to start off today, I have some pictures, and the question I have for each of these pictures is, what do you see? So here's our first one. To me, it looks like a nice open layout, some nice apartment, maybe a couch could go over there, TV over there. Maybe some of us are thinking I probably couldn't afford this apartment, but it's actually the inside of a guitar. Next picture, what do you see? Looks like the world from space, right? Like we're looking down on the world from space. This is actually the top of a car covered in frost. Third picture, what do you see? Okay, for my science nerds out there, does it look like a UFO flying over the forest? That's what I saw, but that's actually a car door handle right there. And the fourth one, what do you see? I see a caterpillar. Anybody see a caterpillar? But if you look closely, it's a bunch of birds. They just all have the same markings really close together. So these pictures are all truly one thing. But you don't see it at first. But once you see the real thing, you can't really help but see the real thing. Once I saw the birds, I could no longer see the caterpillar. Once I saw the door handle, the UFO was gone. There's a popular Christmas song that I'm sure you've sung recently or at least heard it. In fact, I heard it beautifully played on the piano this morning during our offering, and that is, this is how it starts. Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Do you see what I see?" That is the question we're going to ask today. Do we see what Simeon sees? This passage is Simeon's song, and in Latin it's called the Nunc Dimittis, or Now Let Depart. As Simeon comes to the end of his life, but he has been waiting to see the Messiah. It's a beautiful passage as he clings to this baby and he praises God. This story comes in when Mary and Joseph bring their baby in for this purification rite. And it seems odd that the Son of God, the Messiah, would need purification. But this is just showing Jesus to be the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises as Jesus fully takes our place and does everything required by the law of the Lord. Circumcision, naming at home, the purification and presentation at the temple, Jesus fulfills it all. His intention is to fulfill the law, to take our place, and to fulfill all the Old Testament promises. And so let's go ahead and read the passage now. So would you stand with me for the reading of Scripture? Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the rising and the falling of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." You may be seated. So I'm going to divide our time this morning into three sections. First, what we know about Simeon from this passage. Second, what he says about Jesus. And then third, what does this mean for us? And so first, what we know about Simeon. And here is an artist rendition of Simeon meeting baby Jesus. I loved this picture. And I also just love to picture in my mind what this scene might have looked like. The story tells us several things about Simeon. First, it tells us that he was righteous and devout. And righteous also can mean just, sincere, upright. This was a man that was obedient and was a man of outstanding character. He is devout. This means God-fearing and reverent. He was committed to his faith in the Lord. He was all in and had a life-giving relationship with the Lord. He's also expectant. He has been waiting expectantly, waiting on the consolation of Israel, it says. This is what is promised in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 2. "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." This word consolation also means comfort and encouragement. It's the same word used in Philippians 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion. This is what Christ brings, and this is what Simeon has been waiting for. Comfort for Israel, the comfort that alone comes from Christ. The other thing we know about Simeon is that it says that the Holy Spirit had been on him. And not only that, but we see him being receptive to the Spirit. It says that he was moved by the Spirit. So whatever he was doing, he somehow sensed the Spirit of God speaking to his soul, and he was moved. He stopped what he was doing, and he went to the temple. He feels the movement of the Spirit and responds by getting up and obediently going to see what it is that the Lord wanted to show him. And then this scene that unfolds is such a beautiful one. The text doesn't tell us everything, but I like to wonder and imagine how this might have played out. How long had Simeon been waiting? He received this promise of seeing the Messiah, so how many times did he go to the temple to check? Was he there every day? Did he sit and wait, watching as people walked by, wondering who this elderly man is who always is at the temple? This elderly man who travels the slow walk to the temple and sits, eyes peeled, waiting. How wide was his smile when he saw them? Maybe his frail hands shook as he reached out to hold this little roly-poly baby. How tight did he grip him? Did their eyes lock and he just knew? For a moment, did time seem to stop? As he looked at this baby, tears coming into his eyes as he held God in his arms. It's then that we see this man is a prophet. As he proceeds to prophesy about who Jesus truly is, which we're going to come back to. And here we also learn of Simeon's great trust in the Lord as he addresses him, Sovereign Lord, the God who is in control, the God who holds the world in motion. And this is where the song gets its name, Now Let Depart, as Simeon is able to depart this world in peace. He was ready to go home. So before we move on, let's step back and look at this picture of Simeon, this faithful servant of the Lord. He is righteous and devout, receptive to the Holy Spirit. He is expectant. He's filled with expectancy, and he trusts in the sovereign Lord, and he's a prophet. He is filled with peace as he sees the promise fulfilled, both for himself personally and then for the world. In this Messiah, this precious child. And so this brings us to what he says about Jesus. And this chapter in Luke is filled with and structured around sayings about Jesus. There are three incidents in this chapter 2 centered around truths spoken about Jesus. So the first one is when the angels are speaking to the shepherds, and they speak of Jesus as the Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Three great titles they give to Jesus, Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And then the third incident in this chapter is when Jesus is a boy and he goes to the temple, and what he says of himself is quite telling. He says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" These first words of Jesus reveal the special relationship he has with Father God. Two huge incidents that share great things about Jesus, Savior, Messiah, and Lord, and Father's house. And then the central one in this chapter is the Song of Simeon. And so what does it reveal about Jesus here? Simeon says that Jesus is God's salvation. This is actually what his name even means, and he had just been named Jesus, the Lord saves, Jehovah salvation. This is the name of Jesus. Every time you speak his name, remind yourself what it truly means. And notice he does not say, "My eyes have seen part of your salvation." Jesus is just your salvation. He is complete salvation. Nothing needs to be added to it. Jesus is God's salvation. He also says that Jesus is a light for the Gentiles. Jesus is hope for all mankind, not just for Israel. He brings in those who were far away. They've been brought near. They now have access to God through this little baby in his arms. But he brings them near by shining a light and revealing truth. This is the light of the world. Simeon recognized this baby as fulfilling the promise of Isaiah 49, verse 6. "I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." This is particularly emphasized in the books written by Luke because he is actually the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. He had experienced this firsthand, Jesus, a light for the Gentiles. Jesus is also said to be the glory for Israel. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament promises, as I mentioned before. He brings the consolation for Israel as Simeon had waited to see. The comfort from Isaiah chapter 40, comfort for the people of God is found through Christ. And then he says something interesting as he says that he will cause the rising and the falling of many. This is the part of the Christmas story that at times we don't like to talk about. Jesus comes to divide. You either believe him or you don't. There are some who will rise and some who will fall. There really isn't an in-between. Truly, this is the way to peace. It is the way of healing. We must bow in humiliation. We must repent, realize our poverty before we can rise to new life in Christ. We see our inadequacy and his total sufficiency. He also says that Jesus reveals the thoughts of hearts. This is raw vulnerability. This is hard. It's personal. Nothing is hidden from him. We are real and we are naked before the Lord. He sees it all, even those things we think that we have hidden away. We may have ways to deceive others or even deceive ourselves, but we can't pretend with God. He peels back the disguise and he sees us as we truly are. Again, before we move on, let's step back and see this portrait that Simeon has painted of Christ. He is God's salvation, total salvation and a light for the Gentiles and the glory for Israel. He brings salvation to all, but he does so through the rising and the falling of many, dividing people as they make a decision about who they believe he truly is. He also reveals the thoughts of heart, seeing us as we truly are vulnerable before our God. This is the Messiah Simeon held in his arms. This is the comfort for Israel, the salvation of all mankind, and this is the Christ who brings peace. Peace to Simeon as he was now ready to depart this world, and peace to the whole earth. After all, this is the Prince of Peace that he holds in his arms. Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That is the child, the long-awaited one, the one that Simeon holds in his arms, now filled with a peace that passes understanding. How tight does he grip this precious baby? How long does he gaze into his eyes? Do his own eyes fill with tears? Can you picture it? This is the truth of Christmas that can linger the whole year long. Grip it tight. Gaze into his eyes. Hold tight to this image, because it is that that can bring peace. So we've looked at a portrait of Simeon, the faithful prophet. We've looked at what the portrait of Jesus, the promised child. And now we ask, what does this mean for us? I think first, this passage is one that encourages spiritual discernment. Simeon, after all, is a great picture of spiritual discernment, of one who is receptive to the Holy Spirit. What if he had felt that nudging of the Spirit to go to the temple, but he had ignored it? What if he had missed that gentle tug on his heart to go? And this is where we ask ourselves this question: do we truly see? Or at times, are our eyes clouded? Do other things block our vision? Do we see Christ as Simeon saw him? Do we see Jesus as God's salvation? The baby was born to die. This was not a plan B. This was always God's plan A. Jesus, our salvation. He is our substitute. We could never do it on our own. We just have to see it that way. We need to see clearly and humbly our inadequacy, our inability to live up to all that the law requires. And when we see ourselves clearly, that's when we see Jesus as he truly is, God's salvation, the only way. Do we see Jesus as a light to the Gentiles, the light of the world, the one who shines a light into the darkness of our lives and reveals truth? Do we see ourselves as having lived in darkness, unable to see, to even put one foot in front of the other? And Jesus stepped in and he showed the way, shining his perfect light. Do we see Jesus as the glory of Israel, the consolation, the comfort, or do we perhaps look to other things for comfort? We are about to step into a new year, and that means some of us, me included, will make New Year's resolutions. And the thing that I've heard so much lately is the need for self-care. I hear it all the time, make yourself a priority, set aside time for self-care, it's so important. And now I won't deny that it is. We need to slow down, care for our bodies, our minds, and our souls, but maybe we need to see the real source of comfort. He is the comforter. Go to him. Do you see Jesus as the one who divides, causing the rising and the falling of many? There is no neutrality when it comes to Christ. You can't be indifferent to him. You either believe who he said he is or you don't. His coming makes the sword pierce the heart of his mother, gripping her baby tightly. This precious baby was born to die. Christmas leads to Easter. This is the way he brought peace. The way he brought peace was through pain. It was through death. And the way for peace for us is through grasping that and repenting and dying to ourselves. The way of peace is allowing the sword to pierce our heart alongside Mary's. Do you see what I see? Some people just saw a baby, but not Simeon. Simeon saw the salvation of God. He saw the sovereign Lord, the light of the world, the glory of Israel, the revealer of thoughts, the Messiah, Jesus. The Lord saves. Every time you whisper his name, you speak that truth. And so as we step into this new year, this is a great time to ask ourselves what we see when we look out on the world. Do we see what Simeon saw? Do we see a God who is sovereign in all control? Do we see a God who planned the salvation of the world through a baby? Our substitute born in a manger? Or perhaps are our eyes clouded and our vision marred by fear, by guilt, by self-centeredness? Do you see what I see? Because like the picture of the birds that appeared as a caterpillar, once you truly see Jesus, once you glimpse who he is, what he came here to do, you can't see anything else anymore. All other pictures fade away. Guilt, fear, anxiety, self-centeredness, all of it fades away as we see the Savior of the world, as we see Jesus. Simeon saw Jesus as he truly was. This elderly man who had probably fading eyesight still saw clearer than many. He saw truth. This baby is more than just a baby. This is why he was filled with peace. When we fix our eyes on other things, we are filled with anything but peace. Fear, guilt, anxiety, pride, just to name a few. I pray for my life to be characterized by peace the way that Simeon's was. And so I pray that all of us can examine our eyesight, what things might be clouding our vision, and that we may fix our eyes upon this baby, that we may linger upon his face far after Christmas. And see, truly see, what this baby means for all of us. This popular Christmas song ends with this. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light. Would you pray with me? Father God, we sit in awe of what you did through this baby. We thank you for the goodness and light that you brought into the world through this tiny little human. And Lord, may our eyes not be clouded. Would you help us to examine our eyesight and see, truly see you and what you did for us through that baby in a manger. Lord, may this linger in our hearts and in our minds as we go throughout our days this year. Lord, may we truly see you. And in seeing you, may we too be filled with peace like Simeon was. We ask this all in your precious name. Amen.